And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. Andy White and Nick Butler talk social media.
I think if we have an intro that's based on people scripting it, they're not going to get it.
So what do you think we should say?
Conversations around social media, technology, two of the brightest social media entrepreneurs in the south of England today.
Yeah, let me write that down.
I think the idea is we've got to go around every cafe in the south of England and record a different episode each one.
What should we call it, though?
It's all about social media. It's Andy White and the Loudmouth Man. Social media white noise.
I like it.
And now... Oh, sod it. Everything they just said.
Counting in thing.
And we're live. Hello, everybody.
Like I do a counting in thing.
I'm Andy White, aka Dr. Pod, and this is
Nick Butler, aka Loudmouth Man. Welcome to Social Media White Noise, show number 26.
He says with a little bit of hesitation in his voice, because he's not quite certain if it is show 26.
Well,
I think it is show 26.
We're here today.
Yes, it is.
At the Centre. The cafe at the Centre.
It's called the Centre, is it?
In Horsham. And we have information about where we're actually at, printed on laminated sheets in front of us.
Mm, okay.
And we'll get more into that in a bit, but yes, we're a little bit edgy today, a little bit edgy because, well, there's no 3G service.
So we're using Edge. That was the joke, wasn't it?
There's almost a funny in that. That's where we're at.
So on the week that
we have no internet access to do a internet show.
Yeah, and also the week that Nick hasn't been terribly well at home.
Okay, but we're not going to go into that. We are in a cafe and people need to eat their food. But it's also the week which sees Andy having actually prepared some of the show notes a whole week ahead of when one of the shows is happening, which was not so much as unheard of as, wow, I must have been really bored.
Yeah, I was very bored.
And I'm quite impressed because talking about, and we're speaking to Tukey Bunton today. Tukey, as usual.
Is she one of our three followers?
He certainly is.
I'm sorry,
yes.
He's one of our three. I do apologise. I do apologise.
So we're back down to nil listeners again. Thank you very much there. Well done. Co-tweet. Co-tweet.
Oh, and we're getting phone noise.
EFF lookups. Okay, well, I'd just like to confirm. My phone is all the way over here.
Yeah. Oh, that must be mine then. I'll move
mine. So check where you are. Yours is in your pocket by the line.
Sorry, I think we've had to get a bit organised here because it's been a bit rambling the first 2 minutes.
So here we are.
So what are we covering this week? Actually, also on the week that allegedly there's going to be a full disclosure of the government's knowledge of UFOs on Friday by Barack Obama even. And so that will be very interesting if that happens. I think not.
Anyway. There'll be more information in that. You could fit in a tweet.
Yeah, yeah. What we're doing, talking of tweets, wonderful segue into the first segment. Co-tweet.
We're getting so smooth at this.
It's
almost like a practice.
Co-tweet.
Co-tweet.
Now, unfortunately, before as I was preparing these notes, I thought, no problem, because we'll have internet access. I'll just quickly go through the website as we do this, but we don't have internet access.
Right.
But apparently, Nick knows a bit about this.
Co-tweet.
What it is is
TM Will Harris, TM. With Twitter, it's one person per account, effectively one user, one account. So if you want to run a Twitter account as a business, so you're trying to run a Twitter account in a customer services type way, then that one user account, one person logged in, can become, to a certain extent, it can become quite risky because you've got numerous people logged in on different occasions. You might have different people responding to different issues. What you actually need is some professional interface around Twitter to allow a work group or allow a number of different people to act on one Twitter account, responding to all various tweets and comments that are coming in. Mm. Co-tweet is providing you a enterprise-type interface to allow groups of people to manage a single Twitter stream. Now, I think you need to say, it goes beyond just being, it can be one user or multiple users for one event.
Mm.
You have to perceive that you could be running an event and you could have multiple organisers running Twitter. You could be running a short notice event, or you could be commenting on a certain sort of internet activity going on. You can have groups of people working together. So I don't think this has to be something that's specific to, we're going to have a business that's using this to promote content through Twitter. But Co-tweet is designed to allow people to create in a work group environment, sort of cohesive front line of producing social media, social network content.
Mm, mm.
It's interesting to note that Salesforce, who have a similar product called Chatter, and Salesforce, which is
these are the online
content
people,
management
aren't they?
The
online apps
contact
people.
Management system, rather. Yeah. Contact management system that sort of very much enterprise use, and I've been using it a lot with quite a lot of my clients. And Salesforce have this built-in feature that allows multiple work groups to talk about particular campaigns and to create content around it. Mm. And looking to take that and use that as a tool to promote in the same sort of way that CoTweet works, sort of campaign management or sales management, customer focus management. This is perhaps the next growth that we'll see as businesses realize that you can't just say to one person, you're the single person managing all the tweets for the business. But we will look at this in a holistic approach, sort of allowing lots of conversations to come in and be approached by multiple people who can then share the responsibility at different times of the day, share the responsibility for different resources, share the responsibility for different knowledge bases. And that's, you know, that broadens out the ability for a business to have a sort of human-focused presentation. However, there is that classic concern that a Twitter feed needs to feel personal. You know, social networking needs to be about communicating with people and not just with machines. So how you make sure you have a sort of consistent brand character that matches up with that expectation is still a problem and a nightmare for the marketing people to work with. That's going to be interesting to see how it breaks out, but that's CoTweet. Without any internet connection, I could be wrong.
I'm very impressed. Did you just learn all that and remember all that from the website?
Well, I'd like to say that actually, having had you put all the information in, I actually looked it up during the week.
I was hoping
Andy,
you would.
Andy, I did my homework.
Unlike me.
I have to say, it's one of these products that I don't actually have any clients that would make direct use of it.
No.
But at the same time, having sort of played with it, I realised that part of their marketing is wrong. Because they're focused on professional promotion of their product. Mm. And they could go much further than that. You know, it could be you're running an event. So let's say you've signed up, you have an event sign up, and you're working with Amiando. And Amiando, I guess we better make notes of this inside the show notes, but Amiando provides ticket sales management for events. And they provide a really wonderful interface, a programming interface at that, to sort of provide a very flexible interface to promote your event and sell tickets for your event.
Yeah. Okay.
What could go beyond that is the ability to link in with CoTweet and Amiando, a sort of linking up of everybody who's immediately signed up via Amiando. They could immediately volunteer to follow the Twitter accounts that you set up with CoTweet. And now you're in a position that you're immediately seeing people who are following you on that Twitter account and able to broadcast to those people via your Twitter account certain bits of information. And that's another level of a sort of directed marketing specific to an event that people aren't naturally working on at the moment. We do things like, say, create a hashtag, but the problem with hashtags is they can be poisoned. Because somebody else can create a hashtag and go over the top of somebody else's hashtag.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now, I actually recently solved this as a problem for Reuters when we wanted to follow the £1.40 conference and we wanted to follow all the tweets for that tag.
Yeah.
But we didn't want to pick up any spam or any rubbish. So what I did was I built a system that I called Rainmaker to fill the cloud of tweets. And what Rainmaker did was it looked only at an agreed set of users. So if your name wasn't down, you weren't getting in.
Right.
And that meant that anybody could use the hashtag, but only people who were registered with the service were going to get published in that tag. And the registration of that service was hand-managed by me. But I'm going to make this thing a little bit more available in the future so that more people can bring in that service. I think it's that constant need to have that sort of wider scope.
Talking of hashtags.
Hashtags.
Jeff Jarvis came up with a lovely idea on a recent episode of This Week in Google, one of the Twits podcasts, and he says, why don't Twitter make a way for you to look up what a hash is all about? Somebody needs to define a hash.
There are two services that provide a service for
that. Are there? What are they? Mm. What a wonderful segue.
And there are. There's even a hashtag for that.
Hashtag dictionary lookup.
There was a hashtag lookup, and I cannot remember the name of either one of them right now. But you do want a way to be able to say when you want to register a hashtag. We've talked about this. Is we have domain name registrars.
Yeah.
What you need is a hashtag registrar.
Yeah.
So that you register the hashtag, you register the interest in that hashtag, potentially showing that you're going to create content and that these users are creating content in this area, making it easier for people to understand what, you know. When you look at the hashtags that are trending on Twitter, it's not immediately obvious what they mean. And you sometimes have to go into the trends to understand what is being communicated. And very often, because those trends are filled with junk, you're not getting the sense of what it is about, but you're getting the sense of what people are spamming at you. So we'll have to go in and have a look at that. We can maybe talk. I wanted to maybe talk about that more on the next show, but actually on the next show, I'd like to, and I was going to couch this with you at the start, but now I'm going to put you right in the spot.
Couch it on air, Nick.
I think we should be talking more about the digital economy bill. Because when we look at things like what ACTA and the EFF are facing at the moment, as we were talking in the show, this digital economy bill, the Mandelson's presentation to the Lords and Heads of Commons to say, we want to improve the rights of copyright owners and restrict the rights of internet users. If you're caught sharing things illegally, it's three strikes and you're cut off the internet.
More of which later.
I think we should talk about that. We should talk about that in the next show.
We should. This show. But
in couching why we should be talking about it, because you brought up a couple of points to talk about. The EFF, the Electronic Freedom Foundation, are looking to bust the podcasting patent from Volo Media.
Yeah, I remember we had I was whinging a few episodes ago. I was gnashing my teeth about this.
And it's another one of those really broadly painted patents that, you know, paints some idea of what we're going to offer as a patentable idea. In this case, episodic media material delivered over a channel on a regular basis, which provides a mechanism for informing the users of new updates that are available, as well as tracking previous episodic archive material. It sounds very much like what we're used to seeing in podcasts, and not.
It also sounds a bit like TV and radio.
It sounds like TV and radio, and they're trying to picture that somehow TV and radio is something patentable on the internet. And to a certain extent, yeah, it might be, but I personally think that, yeah, there's plenty of prior art to show that there's, you know, podcasting patents aren't worth doing because there's plenty of prior art. But this doesn't sound like podcast to me. A podcast doesn't sound like a channel. Would you say a collection of podcasts is a channel?
Well, it is in the RSS parlance, isn't it? Channel.
Well,
item.
It's an enclosure. And an RSS feed is a feed, not a channel. We don't say RSS channel.
No, but the tag, the XML tag.
Okay, but now you're onto XML tags, and tags have got nothing to do with channels either. And the patent's clearly stating that it's about channels. And I cannot see how... I cannot get my head around how you would sit down and create this patent as a series of paragraphs talking about channels and refer it to the internet. Because they point out that somebody tuning a radio expects to be able to lock into a station and get information about that station as they're tuning a radio. So they should be able to do it with this patent.
But just what was going through the mind of the patent officer when they okayed this? What was going through their mind?
I'm not sure there's...
Was anything going through their mind?
I don't think that's the issue. I think what's going through the mind of Volo Media is, why do they think this is a podcast? Because actually, reading the patent, it sounds nothing like a podcast.
Didn't the guy from Volo Media say he's not looking to patent podcasting? Didn't he explicitly say that?
Well, exactly.
But I can't remember what the second half of his sentence was.
The thing is I think there's a great concern here to fight something which is, I think, not the real issue.
Ah. We're pointing the gun at the wrong bit.
I think this is the...
We drew the X in the wrong place before we hit it with the hammer and charged £500 because we knew where to hit it with the hammer.
I think this is a some sort of misdirection. And I don't think it's intentional misdirection, but when you read the patents, there's no way that I could look at that and say they're painting podcasting. I can't look at that and say, this is how you're painting podcasts.
Interesting you said that, because one of the comments underneath this particular article that I looked at when I was doing my research, Nick, one comment, in fact I think there were a couple of comments saying, is it not just a waste of time trying to fight it, wait until someone tries to enforce it and then fight it? Which is kind of what you were saying just now, was it not?
I think the paintings itself, which is the links in the podcast, ridiculously high number of patents to start with. It doesn't actually say podcasting. It doesn't refer to podcasting.
No.
It refers to audio media, refers to audio media, and it refers to what is claimed, you know, wherein the synchronization of updated episodic media occurs in response to a request received from the user. Well, okay, that sounds like that might be what you do with an RSS feed. But we do this with rsync as well.
No, an RSS feed is polled.
Well,
although they're talking about real-time RSS now, aren't they?
Wherein the automatic download is further based on a priority assigned to the channel. The more I read it, the more I sort of think, actually, this fits quite well within a specific device, but it doesn't fit within the generalised area of a browser.
No.
What I was searching for is the person who legitimately said this is about a podcast page. And I haven't actually said, you know, the Tech Dirt article doesn't come up as a link. It just, no. I can't seem to find the original article anymore. So I kind of say, okay, is there something more in this than we're really seeing?
What do you think of this coffee?
It's segueing into the coffee. Well, first of all,
very nice.
Big ups to the Sensor for providing decent mugs of coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, proper mugs like you're actually going to get at
home. These are quite parallel-sided with a slight lip.
It's fair trade coffee. It's an Arabica blend, and it's freshly made. So we're not talking about coffee that's been sat in the pot for the last hour and a half. Which, you know, all fairness, there's a time and a place you can serve a particular coffee. This, I have to say, this is the sort of coffee I prefer. I like to actually feel that it's been served freshly off the beans, out of the machine, into the mug, and onto my plate. The only downside for me is the mugs aren't even bigger. As we ordered a large, and I feel like I've just got a mug. But,
TypePad, the
TypePad
blogging platform, accepts email blog posts in a similar way. No. Posterous. Do you like my Jeffrey Grosenbach impression then?
No, because I have no idea who you're going on about.
Well, if you heard him, you'd sound a bit like that.
If we understood what you were doing, it makes sense.
He's a good guy. I like imitating him because he's got a very imitatable voice.
Apparently so have I, but we don't need to go into that.
I can't do you. I haven't got the range.
Anyway, TypePad's accepting email blog posts in a similar way to Postgres.
I'm not sure how long they've been doing that.
Most content management systems accept it. Most content management systems have an email interface, even WordPress.
Aha, but do they embed audios nicely on the page and into a feed?
Is this what TypePad is now doing?
Yeah.
Okay, the answer to that was no.
Very, very much like Postgres.
Very much like Postgres and Postgres.
Yes, there is a link in the show notes to my first effort, where I do sound a bit arrogant, a bit sort of Jeremy Clarkson-like, but never mind. You can have a listen to that. Yeah, TypePad.
Are you more of a preference to TypePad over Postgres? I got asked today because somebody was assuming that I was moving all of my sites to Postgres.
No.
I noticed that Documentally, there's the first occurrence of Documentally in this episode.
Mr. Christian Payne.
Documentally is making use of Postgres more and more and more over his own website.
Is he still using Audioboo a lot? Yes.
Pretty much exclusively. This is a great podcast for me eating things throughout the whole of the podcast.
Yeah, Nick is eating a very nice piece of... Well, it was a Bakewell tart. It now looks like it's part of broken bits of something or other.
Let's just go to, in terms of ease of setup, Postgres over TypePad.
Oh, hang on. There's a bit of Bakewell tart on my face. Okay, sorry. Carry on.
Postgres over TypePad. Where are you going for?
You see, I think Postgres is a good thing for people that are beginning podcasting and just want to have a go, dip the toe in, have a go. And now TypePad is doing it as well, so it's now like a second option. I wouldn't go with either of them. I'd just stick with a WordPress blog. If I'm setting up a podcast for a client, it's usually a WordPress blog, if they've got a specific domain, which they usually have for the podcast. But I think these two tools are brilliant for people that want to dip the toes in and just... wet the whistle a bit.
I mean, again, we're almost into the creating media on the fly.
Yeah.
You know, short notice events, short notice creation.
Absolutely.
The media snacking, as it. I mean, I think I think in the last couple of years, we've lost our way as to the value in social media in terms of short form, quick factor, easy delivery. I don't think we've remembered to stick at that. We seem to have sort of headed back into lots of analytical, long-term ROI. The stuff that businesses are focused about, which loses the value in just creating content quickly and getting it out there and not worrying about that stuff. And I don't think we've remembered to keep focusing on that as we've sort of looked at more and more and more things we can do in social media.
Well, these two, TypePad and Postgres, are nice and lightweight. I like lightweight. Lightweight is good.
I don't agree. I mean, Impostors has that. Until they brought in their theme designs, they had a really good, lightweight, easy, friendly, quick, fast feel to it. Mm. Quick and fast feel. You felt like it was something you go in, get something out of, and come away from.
Mm.
The heavier it is, you know, once you get into tight pads and WordPress, it feels much more like you should be spending time paying attention. And it has its place, but I sort of wonder about creating content quickly versus creating content.
Yeah.
And what the trade-off in those two things is always going to be. If anything, I'm becoming a big fan of Postgres only in terms of short notice stuff.
Yep.
And WordPress in terms of archive longevity stuff.
Mm.
So maybe there's a place here where you have a widget that works inside WordPress that takes Postgres articles at the end of a day and wraps them all up and republishes them back into the blog.
Well, why not just? I mean, you can get widgets that will put any RSS feed.
Livestream will do that.
Just get a widget on your WordPress blog that gets the RSS from the
Postgres. It's called Livestream.
Okay, sorry.
It's called Livestream.
Is it called Livestream, Nick?
Funnily enough, there's a product called Livestream,
yeah,
which does that job for you.
Should we leave that until next time? Because let me see how we're doing for time. Is he looks at the time machine and he sees that it's 20 minutes and 11 seconds into the show.
And now, right about now, everybody else has looked at their iPod and gone, oh, look, yes, he's just about right as well.
Yeah, yeah. Any, I'm not even about to say any tweets, but we're not online, are we?
No, we're basically online. We're simply online.
You got online?
We're online. We could actually listen to Passionate About Cars if we wanted to.
Yeah, should we talk about Passionate About Cars?
Because you've just now re-released this.
Yes.
And
yeah, let me
love it. Oh, that's great.
Nick likes it, yeah. Hang on, I'm going to cough. That was a running cough, by the way, because I went for a run this morning with my running buddy Dave.
Make me feel
in
like
horizontal rain.
Exercise. But anyway, so Passionate About Cars.
Passionate About Cars is a podcast that I started with Steve Kennard of First Class Garage in Kent Town, Brighton. Back in 2007, I think it was, we started it off. Anyway, to cut a long story short, we did 9 episodes. And we didn't exactly pod fade, but it was difficult for us to get in touch with each other for a while. A lot of water passed under the bridge. And I had a meeting with him a couple of weeks ago, and we're going to revive it. So we're recording again on Friday for the first episode of the new season. And that will be going on the website. But have a listen. If you're into motoring, cars, the plight of the motorist, maintenance tips, all this sort of stuff, Steve's got quite some strong political views, so it's juicy listening. Go and check it out. Passionate About Cars. It's all hyphenated. passionate-about-cars.com.
It's all linked.
It's all linked. All nice. All tagged.
It's WordPress.
Go and check it out. Steve makes the show.
Hmm.
I'm just there to ask him questions.
I loved the opinion about the French to start with. I thought it was a good opening line.
Any podcast that starts with "I've never really liked the French" has got to be good.
It certainly caught my ear, and I started listening. And there's not a lot of podcasts about things that, I mean, we're quintessentially following the bandwagon of everybody else in having a social media tech talk podcast.
Mm.
Having one about fixing cars, about car maintenance and garages.
Yeah, and the persecution of the motorists.
Persecution of the motorists. The cost of
speed
the
cameras.
The cost of the Queen's Ferry Bridge over the Toll Road.
Yeah,
the M25, Dartford Tunnel.
Yeah,
Dartford Crossing.
Yeah. It's all good stuff.
It's brilliant. It's just like...
Steve's a right character. And his garage is very good. I always set my car there.
Listen to it. Just listen to it for 10 minutes. It'll make Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels seem like a sort of early training video.
And of course you can subscribe in iTunes. Which wonderful segue onto the difference between categories and tags. I was looking at our own WordPress website, socialmediawhitenoise.com. It is com, isn't it? And we aren't using tags.
We barely use tags.
I'm going to be very transparent here. I'm going to be very transparent and open with you. I was setting up a WordPress blog for a client.
And you're blaming me.
No, and one of the clients said, Andy, what are these tags then? And there was an embarrassing silence, and I couldn't remember the difference between tags and categories. So I just said, oh, you're buffering up against my knowledge envelope here.
Will Harris, TM.
Yeah.
Categories enable you to create a indexing or a taxonomy. You can index and you can create layering of post content, not page content in WordPress. So if you want to organise or categorise your posts into different categories, categories do that. So a post can have one-to-many categories in one-to-many levels. And that will affect it in terms of how it's categorized inside WordPress. in WordPress, pages are categorized by their relationship to each other, and they don't have categories, they don't have tags. Posts in, actually that's not true, you can actually have tags.
I think I mean, that. They do have tags, I think,
Tags are non-categorized or non-indexed leveled. So a tag is like adding a layer of indexing to a post or a page that is separate from a category. In terms of the relationship between a tag, doesn't have to be mutually exclusive. Categories can all exist at the top level or as parents and children to each other. Tags don't have parent-children relationships.
So they're not hierarchical.
They're non-hierarchical. So you can be more freeform. Technically, most of the show stuff that we do that's been put into categories should have been set up as tags.
Yeah, I think I'll, on one rainy afternoon, I'll go and change all those.
Now, in order to save you some time on that, there is a widget you can install in WordPress that will convert all of your categories into tags. And again, the details will be in the show notes.
So the way I see it, Nick, aren't categories a bit more global and fuzzy in nature, but tags are very specific? For give you an example, in
the
Steve's
other way
around
would be correct.
Oh, the other way around. Because in Steve's blog, I've got a category such as voxel.
Yes,
no,
that'd be
wrong.
Fine.
Oh, no, it's a tag. I've got
categories,
it as a tag.
Categories for makes would make sense.
Right.
Because it's a specific.
Right.
A tag would be a non-specific, so you might be saying things like maintenance.
I've got it exactly the wrong way around then.
Because you could have a category for maintenance, but you wouldn't be related to voxel, etc., etc. You couldn't have car.
Oh,
you can have make voxel maintenance, because then you have to have make voxel, sorry, make Mercedes maintenance. You might then have a category for maintenance, but that wouldn't necessarily be the category also for. So I would create it as categories for the makes and tags for the generics. The generics would be things like maintenance, subscriptions, and so forth. Because those are generics, there's a...
Can I call our three listeners for some feedback here, some opinions?
Let's get some
value. Because I'm not sure I agree with what Nick's saying here.
Well, you don't have to agree with me. I just
have to be
right.
I think categories are general and tags are very sharp and zooming in.
I think
it's
the other way around.
For example, Vectra would be a tag and Voxel would be a category.
I think any time you have a taxonomy that can have a relationship, then it can no longer be generalised. Now I've just used three big words just to really upset him.
Oh, we're doing for time. It must be at least 25 minutes now.
I think I'd be really wishing we were ending this show at this rate, aren't you?
4 minutes to go. Do you notice I'm a bit reserved today? I'm a little bit reserved because I'm aware that it's quite a small venue and there's lots of people keep looking at us.
I think you're mostly reserved because of the location.
Yeah.
Because the Crown is also part of a Christian church fellowship centre.
Yes. So I'm watching my P's and Q's.
I think he's watching his P's and Q's quite carefully, actually. I'm
watching my
impressive.
P's and Q's. There go, a couple now. Just going by. I think we've got time to talk about ACTA. You know, ACTA is this... I can't remember what it stands for. The
You're not easily going to remind me either, but again, we're into copyright
treaties.
It's
basically all to do with the sort of recording industries and film industries, sort of trying to stop piracy, essentially.
I think it probably works well to wait until the next show.
It really does.
Because the digital economy bill is something we're talking about.
You could lump it all
just
together.
A reminder for people to go and visit the Open Rights Group. Mm-hmm. There is a petition to be signed to get people, the government, aware of what a ridiculous idea this three strikes rule is.
Yeah.
And it gets to be as daft as sort of suggesting that, you know, just because you're carrying a criminal in a car, therefore we're going to ban you from driving. And that's a really bad metaphor to use, but it is that sort of level of we're going to cut you off from the internet because we perceive, and there is no burden of proof.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about this next week, and we need to go through some points of view on that one, and we need to invite listeners in on that one as well.
Definitely.
If only because we're creating content, and we've never once in creation of content expressed what the copyright license is.
Now, what is a copyright
license for this show?
Are we going Creative Commons? Sorry, I've just spat over your
You have, despite all the jokes you made previously about it. I shall have to pick up this. Anyway, we haven't ever really sat down and discussed what our license should be for the show. I personally think it should always be Creative Commons, attribution only, non-commercial.
Yeah, that seems like what a lot of people go for, isn't it? So people could play bits
of
this in their
podcast. You could take it, reuse it, etc., etc., but you cannot wrap this up in a CD collection of the best of social media white noise and flog it.
Yeah.
And even if you are using any of our content, we'd like you to credit it.
Yes.
I actually have a Creative Commons license on the use of my details. If you go to my website and you look at slash agreement, you'll see that I have given permission for people to use my name and my email address and my personal address, and to store that information in a series of formats, and I've given the agreement as to how they can do that as well.
So are you using the clever Creative Commons metadata that tells machines what...
I am. I've actually used the Creative Commons sign-up license generator to create all the information. Strictly speaking, it's non-enforceable, but it begins to create this idea that says information about you should be copyrighted and the copyright should be with you. Mm. So that anybody using information about you immediately has to respect the license that is you, and therefore understand what that means. I mean, we have this thing called Data Protection Act, but it's insufficient in terms of it's not very clear as to what it intends. And I think what we should have had was the Copyright Act for the individual, and it should have started with the Individual Copyright Act that says information about you, including your DNA, is copyrightable to you. Mm. Yeah, non-transferable, attribution-only, non-commercial license.
Creative Commons.
Technically, because essentially there are we are each the mashup of our own parents.
We are, yes.
And as a result, there's that creative license at that point. Mm. So that's a whole,
Creative Commons and genetics.
28 minutes of this conversation to get into the really interesting point that we're now going to tail off on, but we'll try and remember to bring it up on the next show, definitely.
Any other little tidbits to fill the last 2 minutes, Nick? It's now 28 minutes past.
I did want to talk about
29 minutes,
about
almost.
The problem of the user interface and language, but frankly, that's a rant and a half that we don't need to get into. We have two more shows before the end of the year.
Yeah.
One more show down in Brighton, and then I think we're going to take our usual trip at the end of the year up to Gatwick Airport
to see the police guy with big guns.
See the police guys with big guns to. Enjoy
maybe we could interview one of
them. People.
You think we could get one of them to speak on the show? Click his gun on the show.
Probably the quickest end to our show.
You can shoot us both at the end of the show. We'll be being shot
live. You're a cheerful individual, like a Christmas spirit like that, aren't you, really? Now, we'll be up at Gatwick Airport, which, of course, is a great opportunity for anybody else who wants to come along as well.
Hey,
can turn up.
Show up. What do you call it? A social media flash.
A social media flash mob for social media white noise.
I love the idea. Gatwick. We've got the specific date.
Gatwick mob. And what a way to get us closed down.
It'll be 2 weeks. It'll be 4 weeks from today.
Yep.
So whatever the date is, the Monday, 4 weeks from today.
I could look it up, but you know what? It'll be on the website.
It'll be on the website. I mean, we'll do a social media flash mob.
It's the ultimate get out clause in podcasting, isn't it? It'll be on the website.
It'll be on the website, yeah.
Fantastic. All right, it's been a good show.
Yeah, I've been Andy White, Acker Doctor Pod. And if you want to find me on the interweb.
And I am still Nick Butler, aka Loudmouth Man of loudmouthman.com. This is Social Media White Noise of socialmediawhitenoise.com. Visit us at the website. Please leave a comment on the blog. It lets us know you're listening, that you care, and that your opinions are valued by us.
Thank you very much. See you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Social Media White Noise, brought to you by Andy White, aka Dr. Pod, and Nick Butler, aka Loudmouth Man. Please visit www.socialmediawhitenoise.com, where you can leave comments, listen to the show straight from the webpage, and subscribe for free. Email us at ulot@socialmediawhitenoise.com. Follow us on Twitter, Dr. Pod, and Loudmouth Man. We'd like to thank the coffee shops of Sussex, Social Media and Technology, without whom this show would not be possible. See you soon. Peace.